Well, can we do something? Can we all stand up? We're just going to, we've heard a lot of thanksgiving. And I just sensed as we started this meeting, we're just going to raise our hands and just bless the Lord. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, we bless you. We bless you. We thank you for your, just your own words. Don't follow me. Just, Lord, we lift up your name in this place. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Your word says, let us extol his name together. So, Lord, we speak the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We lift you up. We give you glory. Oh, God, thank you for your unbelievable love for us. Thank you for your grace that covers us. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. Lord, our hearts are full. Oh, our hearts are full of gratitude to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Whew. Lord, we just want this atmosphere to be full of praise, Lord, because like we heard last week, Thanksgiving, Lord, that's faith. Thanksgiving is faith in action, and we just are so thankful for all that you do. And, Lord, we as we look into the year coming, Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but, you know, that's an old saying, but we do know that you hold our future in your hand. And we just, Lord, we just thank you that we can enter the unknown in confidence, that we can enter it with great joy, because we know that you have already gone before us, Lord. You've made a way, like Kelly said, a way where there is no way. That's just what you do. That's just who you are. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Whew. Yes, Lord. Go ahead, Brad. What you saying? Speak it out.
He's coming. He's coming. Church is coming. He says in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to be
That's
here.
Right.
All we got to do is be ready.
Our heart is ready for you, Jesus.
What a mighty God we serve. Some believe in horses, some in chairs. We believe in the Lord our God. Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Psalm chapter 20. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, we give you praise. You're the only
yes,
one
Lord.
Yes. You're the only one that's worthy.
To you, Lord. To you, Lord.
A glad and a joyous
mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whew.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Lord.
Mm. Oh, glory to God. Can we just give him a clap offering, Lord? We love you. We love you. Amen. Amen. Oh, doesn't that just fill your heart up? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just, that's a, I just think that's a miracle every time. I mean, that's how close he is to us. And all we do is just turn our attention and act on it. You know, we're believing it, but we're doing it.
Amen.
And as soon as we do it, whew, his presence just fills us. I just love that.
The mention of his name.
Yeah. That's it. Whew.
Amen.
Mm. I saw us doing that this morning. And thank you, Lord. Well, I want to talk to you about some things. That it's kind of a continuation of what we spoke about last week. But 2 weeks ago, I had a little vision I shared, and then Wayne... He had a word that kind of he felt like confirmed it, but what I saw was, it was like a person standing at an open door, right? And what do you do when you stand at an open door? You don't want to just stand at the threshold, right? You move in, and I felt like, you know, the Lord was saying to that it's a time to move into more of what the Lord has for us. You see, our human bodies are We're a strange thing. Not the normal human, but a born-again human, all right? Because you're not the same race as other people. You realize that? You've been born into a new race. And if we could see, you've got your body and you've got your soul, but you've got your spirit. And if you could get into your spirit is eternal inside of you. The farther in you go, the bigger it gets. Why can I say that? Because the kingdom of God is where? It's within us. Right, and so, C.S. Lewis wrote the Narnia series, right? And I can't remember the name of it, but there's one that it's kind of an analogy to Revelation, and Aslan comes back, and you know, all the creatures are taken to. I can't even remember the name of the land, but I just one part of that I can remember. There's this beautiful land that's been given, and there's mountains and everything, and the cry of all of Aslan's followers are further up and further in, and that was C.S. Lewis's idea of what heaven's going to be like. It's just like, just keep exploring, just keep moving in. Well, heaven has started. If you've accepted Christ, when did your eternal life start? When you get to heaven? No, it starts now, right? So that means that in your spirit, there is a land to be explored. There are the things that God's provided for us. So I'm going to be talking about that this morning. And I'm going to kind of lay a foundation here on possessing the land and then kind of talk about some other stuff after we worship. But for us now, you know how... it always used to bug me. You know, you read in the Bible, in the New Testament, talks about how Christ has redeemed us, right? We've been redeemed, but we are also looking forward to our redemption. Now, if I've been redeemed, how can I be looking forward to my redemption? Did that ever bug anybody? Well, right now, and I'm quoting Andrew Womack here, but one third of you is perfectly saved. Your spirit has been made totally perfect in Christ, right? That sin cannot get in. Can we turn this down just a little bit? I'm getting a... sin cannot get into your spirit. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? And so when God looks at you, you know, we taught this is why God can look at you, and whether you're doing well today or whether you're doing poorly today, it has absolutely no impact on God's feelings towards us, because he's not looking at your performance. He's not looking at your thoughts. He's looking at your spirit. He sees Jesus inside of you. So your spirit has been totally redeemed. Has anybody ever noticed that your mind isn't fully redeemed yet?
Yeah.
You notice that? Has anybody ever noticed that Ken was just telling me that his body hasn't been fully redeemed yet? All right? So the redemption that we've been redeemed, and that final redemption is totally settled in the heart of God, but we are waiting for that final redemption. So while we're here now, we're living in two worlds at the same time. Amen. We're living in the physical world, which bombards you 24/7 with this is what reality is. But then in our spirit, we have another whole world. We have the kingdom of God. We've got the very presence of the living God living inside of us. And when I first got saved, I was, I don't know what I was thinking about. I don't know if I was thinking about much of anything, but I was praying in the car, and I drove in my driveway and parked the car. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he said this. He said, you know the three attributes of God, right? He's omnipotent, which is all powerful, right? He's omniscient, which is all knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere, all right? And so the Holy Spirit said to me, if you had this much of God, how much power is there? If it's God. How much power is there? All power, right? How much knowledge and wisdom is there? All. right? And so what he spoke to me, and I didn't really fully grasp it, but I've held on to it for all these years, is, you know, you may feel like you only have a little bit, a portion of God or whatever, but if you've got, if, you know, this is a terrible example. If you've got that much for the tape, that's like about a quarter of an inch I'm holding up, right? How much power is there? Say it again. How much? That's what he said to me. There is enough power inside of every born-again believer to create an entire universe. Why? Why? Because he's there, right? That's the incredible potential. Now, God hasn't spoken that word to you, thank God, or we'd have colliding universes, right? So it's all of that power is dependent on what he's doing, right? But that's, you know, when you go, if we are living in the land of the Spirit, that is the potential that is inside of each and every one of us, right? Go ahead, Brad.
You mentioned two key words. Listening to you, you mentioned two key words in the Christian's life. One of them is faith. We live a lot of faith. We don't always see everything right before us. That's faith, right? We don't see it, but we believe it. And the other one is feeling. Our feelings can take us way downtown.
Yeah. Right.
We experience it, like you said, every day. Satan comes to us. Oh, you don't feel good. You don't feel this. That's feeling. Praise God. We got faith. God gave us a measure of faith. He said, I gave unto every one of my kids a measure of faith. Amen. Well, those two are key in our life to what you're meant to
exactly
right now. Boy, we got to live that walk of faith. Lord Jesus, oops, I don't feel it, but I don't have to feel it because your word declares it. And I'm going to stand on your word and not my feelings. Amen, church.
Amen.
Walk by.
Okay, I'll just sit down now because he just preached my sermon. That was very good. That was very good.
I just gave you what God spoke.
No, that's it. But because that's the, so this is the, what's the word I want to use? I mean, it's almost like a duality, right? You know, we're walking in the physical world, but we're carrying the kingdom of God within us, right? And, you know, the New Testament, Paul talks about carnal Christians, right? And sometimes I always thought a carnal Christian was, you know, like a backslidden believer. But that's not what the word means. The word carnal means just of the flesh, right? It just means you're living out of what you think, what you see, how you feel, right? Just living out of your soul and your physical needs, what your body needs. If that's our reality, we're a carnal Christian, and if we're living in that, it's very hard to tie into the promise that God has for us. And so that's, you know, I didn't feel like that word was any kind of a rebuke, but, you know, it's possible to be standing at the, you know, to be born again, right, have this treasure inside of us, but just be at the veritable, at the threshold, looking in, but not experiencing what God has purposed for us. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Last week, can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Do you all feel that tension between the two?
Yeah.
So last week, I spoke a lot. And you can put up John 6 there, Joe. John 6:33. I wasn't planning on using that verse so much, but it's such a good verse. Jesus is talking in John 6:63, I'm sorry. And he makes this statement. You heard me say it numerous times last week. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak are what? Oh, you guys, come on, wake up. They're what? They're Spirit. And they are life. The words that he speaks to us are spirit, and they are life. And if we take, and if we take the context of what Jesus was talking about there, it's a very famous interaction he's having. His disciples are there, and Jesus starts talking. Well, there's lots of people there, right? And there's Jewish leaders there, and Jesus starts talking about that he is the bread that came down from heaven, right? And that we have to eat his body and drink his blood, right? And what's everybody doing? Right, they are freaking out, right? Now, what's the problem? Think about the duality that we just heard. Jana, what's the problem?
They're seeing it in the flesh. They think it's a physical thing that they're doing. They're not realizing that it is the Spirit of God.
Yeah, so they're hearing spiritual truth, trying to interpret it by our physical reality. And has anybody noticed that that just, you know, like I used to say in prison, you know, talking about hearing God's voice, you know, go tell your mental health counselor that God speaks to you, right? And he does, right? But what happens if you tell an unsaved person that? They put you on meds, right? And because you have the spirit reality, you've got the physical reality. And so what Jesus was talking about there is just what we're saying. He's, you know, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word that came from heaven, right? And he is the Word. And now he says here, the words that I speak to you are spirit, right? So there's something powerful about the Word of God, right? And I woke up, what was it? Let's see, we must have been Monday morning. I preached myself into a revelation last week. Seriously, I woke up, I don't know what time, 4 or something in the morning. And, that's because we prayed about healing and stuff, right? And I got sick. I was, I had this headache. And then later on, I had nausea. And so at 4 in the morning, I just started, it's like, wait a minute. We've just been talking about this, and so I started praying against it. I started praying in tongues about it, and the Lord gave me that. He brought back these words, that His words are spirit and they're life, and I've been trying to process this all week. I told Elsa, I just got this huge download, and you're lucky that I had mercy on myself and on you, because I kept. So, Lord, what's the essence? What's the essence? And because it was just huge. I just kept putting stuff down. I got out of bed and just was writing it. But what the Lord was showing me is that his word, it's like we've got this kingdom inside of us. Well, how do you get in there, right? I mean, there's one way is just wait for the Holy Spirit to move, right? Well, we go, you know, get an anointed person to come. Oh, that felt good. Yep, that built me up a little bit, right? But that's temporary, right? And we can, you know, we can just kind of wait for the next revival. Revivals are awesome, right? But you're not in charge of when a revival comes, right? So what do we do? What did God give us as a way to access the spirit that's within us? Well, I just believe what he was showing me. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is, he just says it here. The words I speak are what? Spirit. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Oops.
I just keep getting this scripture that just keeps popping in my head that says, not by might, but not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
By my spirit. That's it. So
we can't conjure it up.
Yeah. You can't conjure it up. But if you take this and you take the context of what we were speaking about last week, I'm probably getting ahead of myself here, but you believe it, the scripture, right? You believe it. You receive it, and I'm going to show you that in a minute, by acting on it, right? You can believe it in your head, but when you receive it, it's a part of you that you act on. And then what happens after that? You believe it, you receive it, you have it, which means something is released. Something of God's, something in that kingdom is released into the physical realm. Amen?
Amen.
So, I got to keep moving here. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, now fight the good fight of the faith, or fight the good fight of faith. So, in that duality, is there a struggle? Does Paul recognize a struggle? What do you have to do? Well, say it louder. You got to fight it, right?
Yeah.
You don't sit back and go, well, God's sovereign. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm just being carried along. That's just fate. That's just believing in fate or karma or something. That is not Christianity. Christianity is we walk by faith, not by... Do you see the duality? I'm not going by what I see. I'm going by what the Word of God says, right? And at times, I'm going to have to fight to stay in faith, right? What are you fighting against? What you see. What you hear. What you feel, right? And so he says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we're taking hold, you know, it's an interesting concept. Timothy is being told to take hold of this eternal life. Well, where is his eternal life? It's in the Spirit, right? He's saved. He's born again. He's got the power of God. He's being told, take hold of that. Grab onto it. And that's how you fight this fight of faith. And so I just want to give you a couple of examples that I felt like the Lord spoke to me. I had another title for this, and it's anybody here want to do walking on water lessons? Anybody? You want a lesson on walking on the water? Okay. All right. Yeah, it's raining out. I mean, who knows? Well, Ken and Laurie, they wouldn't have to get taken out, you know, by boat out of your house the next flood. You can just walk out. Does that sound like a plan? No. No. I want to talk to you about walking on the water. So what story am I talking about? I'm talking about Peter. Okay. And he's got 12 disciples in the boat, right? And they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and it's like, oh no, not again, right? It's like, how many times is this lake going to try to kill us, right? They can't make any progress against the waves and the wind, and then they think it's a ghost, right? Here comes Jesus walking on the water, and first of all, he was just going to walk by them, right? So I don't know what that tells you, but it's like there's their salvation, right? But he wasn't even stopping until they called out to him, right? So there's a place there again where our response to in our troubles, right? You want to make sure you're calling out to the one who's got salvation, right? Because he's right there, but he doesn't force himself on us, right? He didn't force himself on the boat. So anyway, so he comes over, and then Peter says, well, Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you, okay? So so Peter gets up, and he walks on the water. But the Lord said, come to me, right? So I want to ask you, what did Peter actually walk on? Did he walk on the water? Or did he walk on the Word? If Jesus hadn't spoken, what would have happened? Huh?
Blub, blub.
He would have just, the water, the physical reality would have been all that Peter had. Down he went. He would have gone down, right? But when Jesus said to him, come to me, he had a word, right? And Jesus' words are what? I'm just going to hammer this into me. Keep preaching to me. What? They're spirit. So all of a sudden, a spiritual reality was released when Jesus said, come to me. And by faith, not by feeling, because we're going to see in a minute where feelings get us. Right, Brad? By faith, Peter hopped out of that boat and he walked on the water. Okay, he walked on the Word. As soon as he got his eyes off of the Word, right? What did his feelings do, Brad?
As soon as he took his eyes out of Jesus, he started going down.
Right. Okay. What do you think he was feeling when he got his eyes off of Jesus? It says he saw the waves, he saw the wind. What do you think was happening to him?
He became fearful.
Yeah, fear came in, right? Most normal, most natural thing in the world happened. The fear came in, and as soon as the fear came in, right. Had Jesus' power changed in any way?
No.
Was the Word still there?
Yes.
But the physical reality overtook his focus on the spiritual reality.
It depends on us.
Huh?
It depends on us. Where we're putting our eyes.
Where we're, yeah. This is it. And so, I don't even know how many promises there are in the Bible. I've read it in different ways. There's thousands. There's between 5,000 and 8,000, depending on how people interpret it. But this book is absolutely full of promises. It covers your health, covers your future, it covers your families, it covers your past, it covers your future, right? It covers your finances. Is there anything that the Word of God doesn't cover?
No.
There's a promise for everything, right? Every one of those promises, when God makes that, when God takes a verse and he makes it real to you, right? That is exactly the same as Jesus saying, come to me. Come to me. Because as Barbara, I loved what you quoted last week, no word of God can ever fail. Because with God,
all
things are possible. No word of God can ever fail, right? So when you have a promise from God, and you can step out of the boat in faith in your situation, and as long as you're walking in that place, now you realize Peter walked on the water twice, right? Because he walked, he got scared, he went down, Jesus lifted him up, and then they walked back to the boat, right? So, you know, we don't live under condemnation if the fear comes in, right? Because he can always pick us up and help us to walk again, right? But we just don't want to go blub blub in our Christian walk, right? Because a carnal Christian is watching other people get blessed and wondering why they're not getting blessed. A carnal Christian is getting beat up by the devil, even though he's got the power within him to defeat the devil, right? Anybody volunteering for carnality? I don't see one hand here. No. But when we fall into it, we're just grateful, right? Jesus, pick me up, because my goal is I'm a water walker. That's who I am, right? I am walking on the power of God's word through my life. And as we do that, it takes you into that place. You'll never possess the land until you know how to walk on water. Because walking on water gives you the ability to possess the land. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So I just want to encourage you, then we'll go into worship or have our huggy break. But I want to encourage you with this, because there's a danger when we've been in the faith for a while, all right? And the danger is, well, I know that. I've heard that. Right, I know these truths, right? And we have them. We've got them in our mind, right? So we believe them. But like I was saying, the power isn't released until we receive that word, and the receiving the word is acting upon it, right? So that means if fear is coming, like Peter had, right? Well, what's the Word of God say? Over and over and over again. I've heard it 365 times in the Bible. What's he say?
Fear not,
right? So, well, yeah, but I'm just, you know, that's just who I am, right? What are you living out of? Spirit or physical? Physical. What are you going to do? You're going to sink, right? So the fight is, wait a minute. As I dealt with this one. Elta knows when we left the church that we had, we were trusting God for all of our finances, and there were times when I was lying in bed and I could see the bills, right? I was having a worship service to fear on my bed at 3 a.m. as I was just like, because that had been a lifelong thing. God was walking me through a lifelong stronghold in my life, and it was just like, it was horrible, right? But he showed me, finally, I was having a worship service to fear. And so how am I going to learn how to walk on water? Number one, the bills are not my problem. Fear is my problem, right? Because fear is going to keep me from receiving everything that God's got, right? So I have to whittle down my problem to what it really is, and that is no more fear. You got a bracelet for one of our sons. It says, no fear, no fear. That was what I had to write on my brain. No fear. God, I'm going to turn, and I'm going to turn to your word, right? And if I'm going to walk on water, what am I going to say? I serve a God who has promised to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, right? Now, when I start standing on that, right, all of a sudden now I've believed the word, and now I'm receiving the word, and guess what happens? Not instantly. Sometimes instantly. We had miracle after miracle, didn't we, Elta, of provision. And we had one time where we were 3 months behind on our mortgage. The guy had called. They were going to get ready to foreclose on our house. And we went to a conference, and while I was slain in the spirit, a man came up and stuffed a check in my pocket. This was back in the 90s, so the money was worth more than it is now. And it was $1,000. We got home, and the next day, a check came in the mail. My mother had sent us, she had gotten blessed. She sent us a check for $500. We were $1,500 behind. $500. I called the bank up, sent it in. The guy said, I said, well, we're sending the money in today. He said, oh, that's funny. He says, I forgot to process that foreclosure notice last week. He just forgot. And God kept us. He just caught us up, right? But you know what happens when you get caught up? You got to keep walking on the water, gang. You got to keep walking on it, right? But, guys, this is the fight of faith. Right? That whatever it is, whether it's healing or whether it's fear or depression or whatever it is, God's word is your portal. It's the thing that takes you into that land of promise. All right? And as we focus on that, what you're doing is you're putting God to the test, right? Not in a presumptuous way, right? But he says in the book of Malachi, try me on this. Test me on this, right? And that's on giving. If you give, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. Give me something to work with.
Thank you,
which means put your life put out there a little bit. Step out of the boat, right? And and I'll just close with this. There are 12 guys in the boat, right? 12 guys in the boat. How many walked on the water? One guy. Well, he got the word from Jesus, but do you think if all 12 of them had said, hey, me too, we've got a couple of grandkids that would, if one kid did, they'd say, hey, me too, I don't want to be left out, right? Do you think they would have got the same word?
Yeah.
All right. So that's 12%, well, 1 out of 12, right? You have to decide, I'm that one. I'm not looking at the other 11, right? Peter could have looked at the other, hey, guys. Oh, well, I guess I'll just stay here with them, right? This is what the whole gang's doing. We're staying in the boat, right? I guess I'll just stay in the boat with them. Would he have ever walked on water? No, Peter had that in him and said, I'll be the one guy. I'm the one. And each person has to decide that for themselves. He said, wait a minute. I'm the one that this is going to work for. I'm the one, I hope that's not Marlene, oh, it is Marlene's music, sorry, Marlene. I'm the one, I want to see this, I want to see the faithfulness of God. I am going to see the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
It is going to work in my life. And when you, that gets you out of the boat, and when you do that, you will see the faithfulness of God revealed in your life.
Praise God.
Amen? Amen. Stand up and give somebody a hug.